on earth, they sing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all people. Well, we've heard it enough that it's easy to hum along and forget that so much of the incarnation, so much of the story of Christmas is wrapped up in this single phrase that the angels sing, a phrase that tells us that the one who is high and lofty, glory to God in the highest, rising above it all, did not consider that position something to be grasped or clutched or protected, but humbled himself, looked out at our world, broken and clumsily wasted and lost as it can be, and said, let me go to that place. Let me go to earth. In the words of the biblical scholar J.D. Crossan, the life and the ministry of Jesus was rooted in the ordinary and everyday. Jesus' stories feature recognizable settings and characters. His miracles occur on familiar roads. His teaching takes place in accessible settings. As a mentor of mine once said, in presenting the kingdom of God to us, Jesus never asked people to leave their world. U.A. Fanthorpe's poem, B.C. A.D., reflects on this reality, this earthly reality of Jesus. A professor of poetry at Oxford, Fanthorpe wrote for years original poems that she would send in Christmas cards to her friends. And in her poem, B.C. A.D., she reflects on how this mighty swing of history occurred through the altogether ordinary and everyday circumstances that surround Jesus' birth. She writes, "This was a moment when nothing happened, only dull peace sprawled boringly and ordinarily over the earth. And this was the moment when a few farm workers and three members of an obscure Persian sect walked haphazard by starlight straight into the kingdom of heaven." Yes, sometimes God appears to us in magnificence and wonder, but more often, I think, God sneaks into a manger on the edge of a tiny single motel town. From the very beginning, you see, it happens on earth as the angels sing. It happens in places like a field outside of Bethlehem, at times like the middle of the night shift, with backdrops like the same starlit sky that you've stared at again and again, to people like these first century farm workers, the shepherds. Many of you were here on Wednesday evening for the wonder and chaos of our first spontaneous nativity service, which we've mentioned already, as some 60 or 70 kids, or at least those from that number who could be convinced to participate, donned costumes and assumed roles and stood right here standing in for the cast of characters as the story of Jesus' birth was read and sung and rehearsed once more. Lots of joyful noise and sentimental images, and it started right away, all of that noise, back in the costume room, where children and parents had about 15 minutes to shuffle amidst the clothing racks. And if you listen to some of the video footage of the dressing room, you can hear lots of voices shouting out, "I want to be Mary!" Or others vying for the wise men, you know, the ones with the sequined robes and the cool props. But I wonder how many lined up to play the role of the shepherds. Because they don't get any fancy gifts. They don't get a baby to hold. They don't get the center stage. Just a tunic and a headscarf were passed out to them. Maybe a few lucky ones got a staff before the prop master ran out. No one rushes to play that part. In fact, I know one 3-year-old shepherd in my house who stayed up an extra hour still curious and agitated as to why she couldn't play the role of the Blessed Mother Mary. Because it was always a marginal role, this role of the shepherd. This is the ancient corollary to minimum wage workers in our world. Don't be taken by the pastoral, pristine images that we might imagine that fill up our nativity sets. Shepherds worked hard and long and dirty. They lived paycheck to paycheck with livestock and a few others for company in the fields outside Bethlehem or whatever town they were working out of, subject to their employers, dependent on another for their hand-to-mouth existence. No spotlight, no center stage role. It's what you did because you couldn't imagine doing anything else. You couldn't imagine your world being anything else, in fact. And how many nights had they spent gazing at the sprawling landscape or the ominous night sky, their view just blurring after a while into nothing at all? And were they gazing and looking, I wonder, for anything like the justice and the peace that we still long to see? Were they looking for evidence that God was with them as we do? And did they ever cry out with Isaiah staring at that sky, God, won't you just tear it open, tear open the heavens and finally come down? What does it mean that the news comes from the angels to people like this? Well, on Thursday, I had one of those days for me as pastor of First Baptist Greensboro, one of those days where I could look back giving thanks to God for the great gift of this ministry and this role, and the sense that I feel I'm doing what God has called me to do, sharing in so many poignant and critical moments in the lives of this congregation. Like late morning on Thursday, when I was planning to join others here in the sanctuary for the annual Christmas play that's put on by our weekday school, students and teachers all assembled here with parents gathered around, all of the adorable music and costumes that you can imagine, wise men, shepherds, Mother Mary, all there. But first that morning, I drove out to Pennyburn, out near High Point, for a pastoral visit to a beloved member of First Baptist who was in the healthcare wing there, Sharon Lowe. Sharon and her husband, Bill, are part of that wonderful Pennyburn community that includes the likes of Bobby Brown and Noreen Young and Doris Edmonds and so many others. And they are dear to many of you. And many of you know that we are praying with them especially urgently these days as Sharon has had a return of her illness and hospice has come to care for her just this week. And I entered her room on Thursday to find her still and quiet. It was quite the change from the vibrant, energetic conversationalist, the Wednesday, Sunday attendee that I met when I started here just over 2 years ago. And I sat there with her. We prayed. Bill joined us and we all held hands. I read from the Psalms. I read from the prophets. And then I found myself turning to Luke chapter 2, where I read the story of Jesus' birth just as we do today. And then it was time to leave. See, I had to make it back the 25-minute drive to get here for the Christmas play, the wiggly, shuffling preschool cast here on the steps, the parents lined up with their cameras like reporters at a press conference. And I was asked there to read that same story once more from Luke chapter 2. And I read it and sat down, feeling just how jarring that had been, how disjointed it seemed, this conflict, collision of experiences, this experience of reading that same story in the span of an hour at a Christmas pageant and also at a bedside. But then, isn't that where Christ came? And isn't that who he came for? And isn't that where he comes still? And isn't that where we will find him? With the weary one, with the grieving one, the mournful one, the sick and fearful ones, not in the high and the elevated, but right here on the ground, this ground on earth. Not just to the 4-year-old shepherd shifting his feet on the stage in the Christmas pageant, but to Bill and to Sharon. Yes, we so often replay and recount the incarnation with grand spectacle and high volume. with fancy costumes and tight harmony. We try to recreate the ethereal. We act sometimes as though we have to go someplace else or do something else to experience it, as though we have to play another role, a central role, as though we have to clean up our lives for God to come and dwell with us. But look again at the scene. The single motel town, the no vacancy sign, the barn out back, the feeding trough turned crib, the bands of cloth found within reach, the expectant parents and the farm workers in a field, every earthly elemental detail sings out for us as loudly as any angel choir, that in order to experience the love for which we so yearn once again this Christmas, God does not ask us to leave our world, to go someplace else. God sends Jesus to us, to earth. And thanks be to God. Amen.